Blog Talk Radio.
You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Help me say it. Yeah.
We thank God for this opportunity once again to be able to come to receive in the name of Jesus.
Christ of Nazareth. I thank you all for being here on the line tonight. It's Wednesday night Bible study, and we're still the continuation. We're still continuing on. I'm sorry, you all. I don't know. I'm lost words tonight. In our lesson of study of being victorious over emotional and verbal abuse, amen, or verbal and emotional abuse, amen. And I hope you all enjoyed the study so far that we have been on for the last 3 or 4 weeks now. So I thank God again for this amazing time to receive and be changed, amen. Seeing ourselves on whatever scope of the end that we're on and being victorious over it, whether being the victim or actually being the suspect in it. The perpetrator, I should say, in the name of Jesus. So let us pray as we enter in on tonight, our Bible study. We should not be here on long tonight as we wrap up our study with lesson. I don't want to enter into another lesson, amen, after finishing this one on the same night, and that'll give a chance for you all to digest all that we learned here over the last 4 weeks. Until next week, we'll enter into our new lesson of study. You know, the Bible helped us to apply the Word of God to our life, to help us to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free, and to walk in the calling, to walk in grace. Amen. For and understanding all that Jesus did on the cross for us and how we come out of those situations, because we now have the power and authority to do so, that we have been blessed, amen, through Christ Jesus, through his shed blood, that we can come boldly to the throne room of grace, asking and receiving in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we thank God on tonight, amen, as we wrap up our lesson of study, being victorious over verbal emotional abuse, amen. So let us enter in so that we can receive, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, Lord God, for your word on tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that we can receive from you, amen, great and mighty, because the work, the finished work of our Lord and Savior, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior, we thank you. Father God, we ask in Jesus' name, hallelujah, that you will open up the channels of our spirit so that we can receive from you great and mighty in your word, oh God, that we may be delivered and be set free, amen, and know it, amen, and be victorious over verbal and emotional abuse, amen, hallelujah, walking according to your will, oh God. So we ask in Jesus' name that you will help us all of today, oh God, and bless us with revelation and knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word so that we can apply to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to our sight, that we may minister to you, one another, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We just want to say thank you, Lord. We ask you to allow the scriptures to take root and be and grasp on our hearts and mind, helping us to keep our mind stayed on you, that we'll be kept in perfect peace, amen, that we'll be peacemakers, that we will pursue peace, amen, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, even in challenging times and challenging situations, oh God, that we will walk according to your will and have the mind of Christ, amen. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name that you bless the word, oh God, that you will keep us out here, hallelujah, to receive. We come against every spirit of distraction, every spirit of confusion. We come against every hindering spirit, every unteachable spirit, every spirit of unbelief right now. We command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the name of Jesus Christ, that we will, we declare and declare by faith that we will receive, amen, that we will be changed, that our minds will be transformed, amen, and that we will not conform ourselves to this world and the way that man say, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, welcome everyone on tonight. If you're just now entering into Bible study, we are wrapping up our lesson of study of being victorious, hallelujah, over verbal and emotional abuse, amen. And hopefully you all have had the opportunity to join us throughout the last 4 weeks as we've been studying in the study of lesson, because tonight we're going to wrap up tonight. But if you missed any of those lessons, you can always go back on Blog Talk Radio / The Preacher and the Pastor. Oh, I can't talk. Amen. Help me, Lord. The Preacher and the Pastor. And you can go back and click on those shows. They are archived, so you can get caught up, amen. And even if you were with us on each lesson, if it's something that you didn't get and you want to go over it again so it can help you, please do so. Go back and listen to it as many times as you like. That's the beauty of being on this platform, that everything is archived on this line, so you can always go back. Well, there's a Sunday service, a Bible study, or Saturday school, or prayer, whatever. You can always go back. Anything that's done on this line is archived. When we're on our prayer line on like we are during this time of 21 days, those times are not recorded or not archived. But anything that's done on the sign is archived, so you can always go back to it. Amen. So let us enter in today. We just thank God as we're wrapping up here in being victorious over verbal and emotional abuse. Amen. And one thing I want to talk about is that, can God heal your broken heart? Can God heal your broken heart? No one escapes the pain of a broken heart. So in the Hebrew language, the meaning of the word translated broken heart is literally shattered. And no one lives very long in this fallen world without experiencing that shattering and the all-encompassing pain that accompanies it. Amen. So many never heal from a broken heart, a heart being broken because they avoid dealing with their pain by blocking out or denying or burying of the memory. So, but the path the Lord has prepared will heal your deepest hurts if you allow him into the innermost part of your heart, where he can spread his balm throughout your entire being, your spirit, your soul, and body. Amen. But we have to allow God in to do that. And many of us, we're going around, we're broken, we're brokenhearted, and we are breaking other people, we're breaking their hearts because we have not dealt with the root of it. We have not given it over to God so that he can fix that is broken. Amen. So let's talk about, what is the first action you can take toward healing? What is the first action that you can take toward healing? The first step for you to take on the Lord's path toward healing is to enter into a loving relationship with God himself. Amen. To help you understand the relationship that God wants to have with you, I'm going to give you our 4 points from his word that you need to know. Amen. You may want to write them down. I'm going to give you some scriptures here. Hallelujah. Again, if I'm moving a little too fast for you, this lesson is archived on the Blog Talk Radio Show, / the preacher and the pastor. So it's at /sign, and then you put in the preacher and the pastor. But I'm going to try not to move too fast. Amen. So first, God's purpose for you is salvation. God's purpose for you is salvation. What was God's motive in sending Christ to earth? Question, to condemn you? No. To express his love for you by saving you. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, we know this all too familiar, we hear it, amen. And it's a blessing to our ears to know it in our heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. Question, what was Jesus' purpose in coming to earth? To make everything perfect and to remove all sin? That's the question. No, to forgive your sins, empower you to have victory over sin, and enable you to live a fulfilled life. Amen? The Bible says in John 10:10, I, Jesus, or Jesus speaking, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen? So Jesus did not come, you all, So he did not come to the earth to make everything perfect and to remove all sin, or to forgive your sins. Amen. Number two, your problem is sin. Your problem is sin. What exactly is sin? Sin is living independently of God's standard. Independently of God's standard. Knowing what is right but choosing wrong. Knowing what is right but choosing wrong. The Bible says in James 4:17, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. All right, so what is the major consequence of sin? Spiritual death, spiritual separation from God. So these are the consequences, spiritual death and spiritual separation from God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Okay, my third point, God's provision for you is the Savior. Can anything remove the penalty of sin? Yes. Jesus died on the cross to personally pay the penalty for your sins. Amen. We thank God for Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What is the solution to being separated from God? Belief in Jesus Christ as the only way to God the Father. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. My fourth point here, your part is surrender. Your part is surrender, church. Place your faith in and rely on Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and reject your good works as a meaning of gaining God's approval. My Lord, my God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. Ephesians 2:8-9, if you're writing it down. Give Christ control of your life, entrusting yourself to him. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 16:24-26, and I'll say it again, that way you can write it down as I'm giving you these points with scripture. That's Matthew 16:24-26. The Bible says, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? My Lord, my God. You are the moment, church, the moment you choose to believe in him and trust your life to Christ. He gives you his spirit to live inside you. The spirit of Christ gives you his power to live the fulfilled life God has planned for you. Amen. So if you want to be fully forgiven by God and become the person God created you to be, you can tell him in a simple, heartfelt prayer and like this. We're going to pray this prayer. It's a prayer of salvation. God, I want a real, and I want you to say it with me, amen, say it with me, if you will, amen. God, I want a real relationship with you. I admit that many times I've chosen to go my own way instead of your way. And I'm going to say it again. God, I want a real relationship with you. I admit that many times I have chosen to go my own way instead of your way. Please forgive me for my sins. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. Come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Through your power, begin healing the hurt in my heart. Make me the person you created me to be. In your holy name, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. And that's a prayer of salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What you can expect now, church, if you sincerely pray this prayer, look at what God's word says that he does for you. The Bible says in Psalm 147:3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Amen. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's talk about there are three additional actions you can take toward healing, church. There are three additional actions you can take toward healing. Whether you are a new believer or a longtime believer, the path to healing is a process that takes time. So as you walk with the Lord, ask him to help you to take these actions toward healing. Give your heart to the Lord, allowing him to be your deliverer. Acknowledge your inability to heal yourself. and accept the fact that God is the source of all growth and healing. Realize that the abuse you have suffered actually may have altered your brain chemistry and created some physical problems. Ask the Lord to heal your past pain and to soothe your soul as you take refuge in him and draw on his strength. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Know that you are never alone. Realize that everyone experiences loneliness and pain is part of the path of life. Continue to thank the Lord that he is always with you. Build a network of friends who care about you and who will support you both spiritually and emotionally. Amen. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:8 that the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you, amen. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, amen. My Lord, my God, search for the truth. Discern the truth about what has caused your past wounds, amen, and your present struggles. Search out the truth of God's word that strengthen and encourage you, amen. Seek the truth of biblical principles and the wise counsel of trustworthy people to aid you in understanding and addressing your situation. The Bible says in Psalm 25:5, guard me, hallelujah, it's not like I'm saying God, but I'm saying guide, like G-U-I-D-E, guard me, the Bible says, guard me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long, amen. Address your legitimate emotional needs. Understand that you have 3 God-given needs, a need for love, significance, and security. Amen. Understand that proper self-esteem comes from viewing yourself through God's eyes. Understand that God never withholds his love from you. Though you may not have sensed that you were loved by your parents or your spouse, the Bible says in Nehemiah 9:17, you are a forgiving God, gracious, and hallelujah, and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. See, pay attention to your own feelings and perceptions. Amen. See the abuse for what it is, actual abuse. Know that you're not going crazy and you're not nuts, amen. If you felt abused, acknowledge that what happened is unacceptable. The Bible says in John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. That's John 8:32. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Clear your mind of confusion. Realize that you have been a victim of confusion, mixed emotions, mixed messages. Seek help from a safe, trustworthy person to sort through the confusing words and to distinguish the truth from the lies. Refuse to be confused if the abuser reverses the blame by putting on you a count is what you are saying. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Amen. Acknowledge your negative feelings. Make a list of any negative feelings such as anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, hate, or revenge. Be honest with God about the feelings. He knows that you have and that you have them, and he understands why. He's all-knowing, hallelujah, all-seeing, in all, for all. Ask God to cleanse you from unhealthy negative feelings and attitudes right now in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 51:7, cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen. Forgive your abuser. Forgive your abuser. Amen. A lot of people, they're still holding on to that. They have not forgiven it, and it's robbing you of your peace. It's robbing you of your healing. Amen. It's robbing you of being delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. Forgive your abuser. List each offense committed against you by each abuser. Release each offense and the pain it caused into the hands of God. Choose an act of your will to release each abuser to God for his judgment. The Bible says in the book of Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Allow yourself to grieve. Write down all the losses that have occurred in your life. Allow yourself time to grieve. Weep by yourself or with a friend. Write the word finish beside each painful memory. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1-4, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Realize that healing is a process, not an event. Amen. Refuse to seek quick fixes and painless solutions. Develop an understanding of the activities that promote healing. Grow in patience as you embrace the journey of the healing process. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 10 through 11, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have preserved. Develop a ministry of healing for others. Ask God for a compassionate heart that is sensitive toward those who have experienced abuse. Be prepared to share your experience when God brings other victims across your path. Ask God to fill you with a passionate desire to comfort others by sharing your healing with them. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to open up the lines if you have any questions or comments at this time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. If you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. If you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. We want to hear from you. We want to address any questions that you have and answer them, and any comments we receive from you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank God for the word on tonight. I pray that all is able to receive. Hallelujah. Be helped on tonight and be delivered, decree and declare victory over verbal and emotional abuse. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The question is, how can I release the bitterness toward my abuser who is now dead? A lot of us are holding on. We're bitter, and the person is no longer here. The person that abused you, that hurt you, is no longer here. The answer is, although you cannot confront your abuser in person, you can confront indirectly by saying what you would want to say or need to say as though your abuser is in front of you. Amen. Consider the chair technique. Imagine a person seated in a chair placed in front of you. Say things you would say to the person if you were actually seated across the table from one another. Express your feelings about what was done to you and the ramification it has had on your life. Then forgive the person and explain that you have taken the person off of your emotional hook and placed the person onto God's hook. I know so many people I've talked to, so many women and even men that have been abused as children, my Lord, my God, and they've been holding on to that. And some have had an opportunity to speak to their abuser, and when they had that opportunity, they were free. They said, I was free, and that thing was robbing them of their peace and relationships and in marriage and the relationship, you know, in different relationships that they entered into because of what happened to them in the past. Amen. Write a letter to your abuser, saying every painful memory, and read it over the person's grave or at a place where you can openly speak to the person as though you were in each other's presence. Then at the close, choose to forgive by releasing your abuser into the hands of God. Make a list of all painful as well as positive memories. After completing this list, go back to the beginning and write the word past by each memory. Acknowledge and accept that the past is in the past. Release all the pain as well as the person into the hands of God. The fact that your abuser has died does not mean that you cannot forgive and thereby prevent bitterness from establishing a foothold in your heart and mind. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 15, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have any questions so far or comments, please press 1. Amen. Please press 1. If you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll just continue on here, and we'll be ready to wrap up here shortly. Amen. Let's talk about what are some of the steps to recovery for victims of abuse. Let's talk about that. Recovery healing is a process that occurs over time and is a result of hard but productive work. Amen. So rarely it is accomplished in a moment or in a single experience. All the practical insights or suggested solutions that we're going to go over for recovery can be summed up in 9 different steps, and I'm going to go through those with you and with these different confessions. Amen. Step 1. I recognize that I am powerless to heal the damaged emotions resulting from abuse, and I look to God for the power to make me whole. Step 2, I acknowledge that God's plan for my life includes victory over the experience of abuse. Step 3, the person who abused me is responsible for the acts committed against me and for the words spoken to me. I will not accept the guilt and the shame resulting from those acts or words. Step 4, I am looking to God and his word to find my identity as a whole, hallelujah, as a worthwhile and loved human being. Amen. Hallelujah. Step 5, I am honestly sharing my feelings with God and with at least one other person as I try to identify those areas needing cleansing and healing. Step 6, I'm accepting responsibility for my responses, hallelujah, to being abused. Amen. Step 7, I am willing to accept God's help in the decision to forgive myself and those who have offended me and to trust him in the process of doing so. And step 8, I am willing to mature in my relationship with God and with others. Amen. Step 9, I am willing to be used by God as an instrument of his healing and restoration in the lives of others. The Bible says in Psalm 30, hallelujah, verse 11 through 12, that Psalm 30, verses 11 through 12, hallelujah, says, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Amen. Amen. Be delivered and set free, church family. Be delivered and set free. Amen. Hallelujah, for you are victorious. Amen. Hallelujah. In restoration, amen. Let's talk about that. Is it possible for the abuser? Is restoration possible for the abuser? Amen. Have you tried to communicate your heartache to a loved one who has hurt you, yet there's no indication that your pain was heard? Perhaps your many appeals for compassion, understanding, or even acknowledgement have been fruitless because the abuser is simply not empathetic. When one has been treated callously throughout childhood, the hard exterior that develops does not allow sensitive emotions to come in or go out. And without empathy, a person is incapable of being sensitive to the emotional pain of someone else. My Lord, my God. Let's talk about who can break through the abuser's hardened wall of defense. The Bible says in Romans 7, verse 24 to 25, the book of Romans chapter 7, verse 24 to 25 says, what a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in order for change to occur, for the relationship to be healed, the sovereign loving work of God in the heart of the abuser is necessary. But the one who has been abusive must be willing to meet certain criteria. Amen. See, honesty is required of the one who has been abusive. Honesty, if you're on that end of the spectrum, if you're on the other end of the stick, as we say, honesty is required of the one who has been abusive. Are you aware that many abusers have no idea that they are abusive? It is possible that you may have been abusive. Are you willing to consider that you may not be in touch with your own emotions because they have been buried for so long? Will you acknowledge that you tend to place all blame on another person and that you believe you are always right? Will you conclude that you may be in denial about the seriousness of your behavior? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17, a truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. Amen. We want to take an honesty test from today. Amen. How about we do that? And just with yourself. You know, I'm not going to open up the line. Just with your own self, you know, and if Chum applies to you, just check it out in your mind or check it out on your paper, however you want to do it. Let's do an honesty test. Amen. Let's do an honesty test, and whatever applies to you, you know, just say yes. If you answer yes to at least three of these, that I'm going to give you the chances of good that you are abusive to someone. So I'm going to read them off, and if it applies to you, you know, put one down or put a check down or put yes, and then if you have three or more of these that you've said yes to, then you may have been abusive to someone. All right, so let's go. Has a loved one ever said that you are emotionally insensitive or uncaring? Has a loved one ever said that you are emotionally insensitive or uncaring? Has a loved one ever said your behavior is abusive or unreasonable? Has a loved one said you act nicer when you are with others than when you're alone with that person? Has a loved one ever said that you tend to overreact? Do you avoid responding to questions that you don't like? Do you avoid responding to questions that you don't like? Do you get angry when asked questions that you don't like? Do you get angry when you ask when someone asks you questions that you don't like? Do you refuse to acknowledge your past negative behaviors? I repeat it again. Do you refuse to acknowledge your past negative behaviors? Do you have a short fuse that ignites anger? Do you have a short fuse that ignites anger? Do you think your personal interactions with others could be destructive? Do you think your personal interactions with others could be destructive? Have you previously had several failed, unresolved relationships? Have you previously had several failed, unresolved relationships? Again, if you answered yes to at least three of these, the chances are good that you are abusive to someone. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 11, honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Amen. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It hurts, but it's necessary for our healing to be delivered, to be victorious over verbal and emotional abuse, and identify what part we have caused and what have we accepted. Amen. Desire to change is uppermost. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any offense way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24. All right, let's do do's and don'ts for taking responsibility. I'm going to talk about do's and don'ts here. Amen. We have a few more minutes left here, and we're almost finished with wrapping up this study of lesson. I pray that it's been a help to everyone that's on the line. If you've been able to be here with us every Wednesday that we've had our Bible study on this particular lesson of being victorious over verbal and emotional abuse. So let's talk about the do's and don'ts of taking responsibility. Don't vent your pent-up anger on another person. Anger that is bottled up needs to be resolved and dissipated, you all, and not spewed out. So do not vent your pent-up anger on another person. Don't say you're the reason I'm so angry. Don't say I can never please you. Don't say after all I do for you is never enough. Don't use harsh, belittling, or sarcastic statements. Don't withdraw emotionally. Do understand that feeling angry is not a sin. Do recognize and admit that you may not know how to handle your anger. Do realize that you may be using your anger to get your own way. Do begin to see things from the other's point of view. Amen. Do recognize that courageous people are willing to admit their weaknesses. Do realize that you can change. It's never too late. Do be willing to enlist friends and family members for accountability. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:9, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Amen. Let me read that again for you. Proverbs 27:9 says, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Amen. Reflection is beneficial, you all. Reflection is beneficial. is very beneficial. Most families will have some issues of control, but some children are subject to methods of power and authority that are more extreme than what is considered normal. So usually when a parent is severely or overly dominant, a child's feelings are stepped on and personal expression is stifled. Then an atmosphere of fear invades the family. Children grow up with a negative emotional focus on the offending person, vowing never to be like the father who always broke promises or the mother who was strict and unaffectionate. Although the behavior of the children when they are grown may not be the same as the behavior of their offending parents, their emotional focus may cause them to develop the same attitudes of resentment and bitterness they so disliked in their parents. That is why the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 15, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up causes trouble and defile many. That's Hebrews 12 and 15. Again, the Bible says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. The points to ponder on, Sergeant, was there anyone in your original family who was overly controlling of others? Is there anyone in your past toward whom you still harbor resentment to this day? Do you bitterly vow that you will never exhibit the same behaviors as your parents? Do you have a negative focus on one or both parents? Do you still feel the need to talk about the negative behavior of your parents? Are you still angry over the way your loved ones treated you or was treated by someone else? Have you learned to love objectively the parents God has given you in spite of their faults and inability to communicate love? The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 25, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, anger management is mandatory. I want us to understand, I'm taking an anger management class to be a help to myself and to be a help with others. It's so much beyond anger management. I'm telling you all, it is good to take it. Opens it up. You know, places where you didn't think that you were doing that or you thought it was okay. And like, well, I'm not saying anything and I'm not doing this. And that is a problem of emotional abuse. And then you see, and how can you, you know, break that cycle and come out of that so that you are not being emotionally abusive to someone. Hallelujah. And just, you know, it's not saying, okay, you have this anger problem, but you may have some bit of anger. This may not be on the 10, but, you know, at some point, some people may irritate you just by them talking, like, why are they talking to me? You know, you haven't done anything to them but the attitude that you are possessing. And so just understand that it helps everyone to be able to take that anger management is necessary. We do our anger at some point. We do get angry. The Bible says in Psalm 4 and 4, in your anger, do not sin. See, people who have difficulty with anger control may express their anger in two ways. So if you vent your anger at someone else, your anger is explosive. But if you keep your anger bottled up, your anger is impulsive. Amen? So explosive anger is outward abusive, while impulsive anger is inwardly abusive. So both are damaging to relationships. God does not condemn our feelings of anger, but he does require that both kinds of anger be expressed appropriately. So it's a way to appropriately express anger. And again, the Bible says in Psalm 4 and 4, in your anger, do not sin. Again, in your anger, do not sin. How many of us can admit that in our anger we did sin? In our anger, we did that. We said that. We went there when we knew better. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's talk about some self-control techniques, Church. They're very essential. Amen. And we should be wrapping up here. We have about 16 minutes in our Bible study here. Not trying to rush anyone or rush through the lesson. Just hoping that we all receive it. Again, if I went a little too fast for you tonight for the sake of time, you can always go back. And again, I pray that you all were able to receive and receive something on tonight. If you have any questions or comments, please press 1. We'd like to hear from you. Amen. Address any questions you may have. Bring understanding. Press 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of y'all that are listening online tonight or joining us online. If you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 845-277-9213 and press 1. We would like to hear from you. Again, welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen. Let's talk about these some self-control techniques that are essential. Step 1, discover your trigger points. Be aware of when you are feeling irritated or aggravated. Take note when a sudden feeling of anger explodes in your mind. Listen to yourself and realize when you are behaving badly, performing poorly, or snapping at those close to you. Stop and take a few moments and give yourself time to discover the source of your anger. What is angering you? And before you react, so take the time, take a few moments, and give yourself time to discover the source of your anger. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:5, get wisdom, get an understanding. Amen. Get wisdom, get an understanding. Step 2, restrain angry thoughts and actions. Turn your thoughts toward Christ. Lord, may I have your peace. Amen. Count to 10 before you respond. Walk away, then come back after your feelings are under control. Take a time out, you all. Amen. It's just not for children. Take a time out for 15 to 20 minutes if necessary. The Bible says in Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Step 3, choose the right time and the right way to express your feelings. Train yourself to keep a lid on your anger until your agitation is calmed. Try to see the situation from the other person's point of view. If you are angry at another person, ask this. Is there a time when we could speak about something important to me? If you have anger turned inward, talk with a friend and seek an objective view of the situation. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. Oh, my Lord, my God. Step 4, be aware of your early family background. Be aware of it. Be aware of your early family background. Read about and recall your early family dynamics. Did you discover that it was not safe to express anger? Did you learn that explosive anger was a means of control? Have you now learned to see your family through the eyes of an adult? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Amen. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Step 5, begin absorbing the truth. Pray for the Lord to reveal to you how he sees you, the person he created you to be before abuse marred and changed you. He would do this with love. Amen. Pray for the Lord to reveal his love for you. Acknowledge that you have God-given worth. Don't let others define who you are. Read through the book of Proverbs, beginning with chapter 8. Write out all the verses pertaining to anger that are relevant to you. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Hallelujah. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Step 6, come to Christ, seeking his help with a sincere heart. The Bible says in, admit that my behavior has been wrong and has hurt others. Confession is confess. The Bible says in Numbers 5, verse 6-7, said when a man or woman wrongs another in any way and so is unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed. So confess. Admit that your behavior has been wrong and it hurts other people. Repentance. Relying on the strength of God, I will change my behavior because I truly desire to please God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 15:19, if you repent, I, God, will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spoken man. Amen. You'll be my spokesman. Amen. Forgiveness. God, I thank you for your willingness to forgive me in spite of my failure to honor you. The Bible says in Acts 13:38, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. That's Acts 13 and 18, church. Acceptance, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior and give you control of my life. Thank you for being willing to adopt me into your family. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Substitution. I'm willing to give up control of my life in exchange for a new heart and a new life in Christ. The Bible says in Ezekiel 18 and 31, rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Restitution. Lord, reveal the names of those from whom I owe a sincere apology. I will go to them and ask forgiveness. I will ask for forgiveness for my inappropriate and hurtful behavior. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 through 24, if you are offering your gifts at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Cleansing. God, I thank you for your promise to cleanse me and to remove all my sins and unrighteousness. The Bible says in Psalm 51, 2 through 3, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, the plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. We can stand on the promises of God. Amen. Decree and declare over our life. Amen. That we may be healed, delivered, set free, and that we can decree and declare victory right now, right here, today, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are many scriptures that we can remember, that we can take with us, and I'm going to give you a few as we conclude here. Again, if you have any questions or comments, please press 1 at this time, and I'm going to give you all some scriptures here. If you want to write them down, I'm going to call them out to you, and you can you memorize these scriptures for your life. Amen. And so that you can reflect back on these scriptures. Proverbs 18 and 21. Amen. How much power does the tongue have? The Bible tells us the tongue has the power of life and death. That's Proverbs 18 and 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Amen. What do reckless words do? What can bring healing? Here's another scripture for you. Proverbs 12 and 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12 and 18, is there any hope or a future for me? And we just read Jeremiah 29 and 11. So Jeremiah 29 and 11, amen, to know that God has a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. That's Jeremiah 29 and 11. Should I ever rebuke an abuser? Here's another scripture, Proverbs 28 and 23. Proverbs 28 and 23. The Bible says, he who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. That's Proverbs 28 and 23. Why do I need to forgive others? The Bible says in Matthew, here's another scripture for you, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. That's the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. It says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. What would happen if I have more fear of people than trust in the Lord? Here's a scripture for that, Proverbs 29 and 25. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 29 and 25, fear of men will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And that's Proverbs 29 and 25, church. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, if you have any questions or comments, we have about 7 minutes left in Bible study. If you have any questions or comments, please press 1. Amen. Hallelujah. If not, I pray that all was able to receive on tonight. and that change will come, that we apply the word of God, amen, that we are victorious over verbal and emotional abuse, and, you know, being able to identify ourselves in the lesson today and being changed, amen, and making that decision, making that choice to be changed and not not continuing to go in the wrong direction, you know, being angry but not angry to sin, amen, and just, you know, coming out and just having that moment to just take a deep breath and say, you know what, Lord, help me, strengthen me, and then get out the way so God can have his way, amen. And I thank God for the help on tonight. I hope you all received. I received the great and mighty. I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the lesson, amen, that you have given us in these last 4 or 5 weeks. And I pray changes come. I'm definitely walking in it. I'm definitely applying it to my life and my situation. I mean, and I just thank God for it. It works. I'm telling you, church, it works, and it works out for the better for us all that is a part of it. Amen. In that situation, let us pray. Father God, we thank you once again for this opportunity to receive. We thank you for the pouring in on tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that we have been changed by your word. And, oh, Lord, we ask that you continue to strengthen us and help us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And, Lord, we leave this line, but never your presence, Lord. We thank you that you're with us, that you'll never leave us or forsake us. Lord, I ask that you bless every household right now that's in Bible study on tonight, oh God. Let every need be met, oh God. Whatever it is that your children are needed, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, according to thy will, Lord, let it be done, oh God. Help us all, oh God. Remove every stumbling block to our healing, to our deliverance, oh God, to our victory, amen, to our breakthrough, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you and we need you. We decree and declare that all as well with us in our home and all that we're concerned about. We thank you, Father God, for divinely intervening and turning around for our good. Father God, when we don't know what to say, Lord God, help us to lean not to our own understanding, Lord God, but to seek you in your way, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you. We thank you that we can decree and declare victory right now over our over emotional and verbal abuse in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you for it, Lord. We seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail, and the promise of God and the Holy Spirit of the living God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. You all have a beautiful night in the Lord. If you're joining us for prayer in the morning, we're back on the line at 6 a.m. So please join us at 520-525-8608. And we thank God. We thank God for the prayer line. And we're going stronger and stronger in the Lord. And we thank God for you. If not, we'll see you back here on Saturday at 1 p.m. for Saturday school, or Sunday at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. in our Sunday services. God bless you. God keep you. Remember, Jesus is Lord. The devil is already defeated, and you're already blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him, and now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansions,
just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you in the gate, but if you're asking, he'll give you that like, can you imagine? Living without all his grace, sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed you for all of my days until I finally stop breathing, yeah. Yeah.